D-O-W-L-I-N-G.
D-O-W-L-I-N-G. And which had, for some years before that, been open only in the evening for the evening College of Commerce and Finance. But in the fall of 47, they reopened it for the College of Arts and Sciences, and but only for freshmen, incoming freshmen. So it was a curious kind of atmosphere at Dowling Hall in the fall of 47. You had a lot of people who were young men who were in their early and mid-20s who were coming back from the war, and some who were older than that, who were married and starting college education, serious students. Then you had a gang of us who were 18 and who were just coming right out of high school. But in any case, there weren't any upperclassmen. It was all just freshmen in this building. And it was a great camaraderie developed there in that year. A lot of friendships made, a lot of good things happened. That's where I met my wife, and we have met a whole crowd of social friends that have been friends ever since. The next year, I went up to the so-called Uptown campus at 6 Mile and Liverny, continued my education. I was in Arch Pre-Law. I remember that I was very pragmatic about going to school. I wanted to hurry up and get my law degree and get out and start making money.
At this time, did you get good family support? You did not have to work.
My dad said to me, Tom, he said, you're a good student. I graduated fourth in my class in high school, and I had a 92.5 average or something for the 4 years of high school. Matter of fact, I recall, and I think it was my sophomore year, I got all A's. It was the only year I got all A's, but so I did. I got mostly A's all the way through with a 92 average. And my dad said, you're smart. You ought to go to college. And he said, here's the deal I'll make with you. He said, you can live at home for nothing. And that's your scholarship, you know. And while you go to college, you pay your own way. And you don't have to pay board except in the summertime when you're not going to school. So I thought that was a very generous proposition, and I proceeded to go to school.
Did you have to borrow for tuition?
No. Nobody would loan you any money anyway. There was no place to borrow. I mean, I had no credit. I had no job. There weren't any programs like there are today where people can borrow money to go to school with the federal government standing behind it. I worked in the bowling alley, setting pins. I worked... in the summertime, obviously, I worked in the summer before I started college. I worked at the railroad, many times pulling double shifts, working, loading mail onto boxcars down at the old down there at 14th and Michigan Avenue. I want to say Union Station. It wasn't the Union Station. Michigan Central Station. Michigan Central Railroad Station. And I worked, I'd go in at 3 in the afternoon and work till 11 o'clock at night, and oftentimes get the double shift and work until 7 in the morning. So I saved up my money to go to school in that way. And basically, during my freshman year, I didn't have to work because I had saved enough money to pay my tuition. Then in my sophomore year, between my freshman and sophomore year, I got a job at the Wolverine Stone Company.
Stone
Company. This was all like stone facing that you put on buildings, limestone sills and doorsteps.
Grave markers?
No, we have a little of that, though basically not. Usually that's granite. We dealt in limestone, sandstone, construction stone mostly. Though I do recall we made fireplaces out of stone. And we used to set the fireplaces up and number the bricks and the stone pieces, and then they could be, and we'd draw a diagram and for the brick mason who'd put them all together on the job. And in fact, I worked there for 3 summers. One of my great accomplishments during that time was to carve a limestone fireplace, which is in somebody's home down in Detroit. To this very day, I couldn't tell you where, but it was I literally carved it with an air hammer, you know, a chisel like this, and so those were my hardworking days. Drove semi down to Indiana to pick up stone and things of that kind. And learned and discovered what the language of the working man is, which was the combination of the language of the working man and the language of the dog-faced soldier, because the men I worked with were men who had served in the Second World War and who brought back with them not only a spirit of American enterprise, but a cultural whatever.
Were you on a compressed, what they call, combination course 2 years of liberal arts and 3 of law, or that sort of thing, or were you?
I don't know what we call it. It was called that. I was on a track where if I could generate 62 hours of pre-law credit, I could be admitted to the law school. And I don't recall that I had to have any particular grade point average to do that. I do remember, however, that the course in my sophomore year course in religion was not an acceptable credit to get into law school. And I talked to my advisor. I said, I don't want to take this. I don't need this to get to go to law school. And I've already taken all the religion that the law school will accept as pre-law credit. And the advisor said, this is a Jesuit institution. You will take religion because everybody must. And I had a priest called Father Magid. The subject had to do, it was a speculative religion course having to do with what heaven was going to be like. I found the whole thing totally impractical and not particularly inspiring, and I did everything I could do to get kicked out of the class, and I finally flunked it.